Hi, everybody. Welcome to Spill the OT episode 3. If you are new to the podcast, then welcome. And if you are a returning customer, awesome. So glad you're here. Today, we have a really cool guest. She is an occupational therapist who recently took a role as the director of rehab in an outpatient setting. And I thought this would be a cool one because she is pretty young and recently took this role, so she hasn't really been here for many years. I think this is maybe month 2 or 3 in this position. So she was really open and honest and just talked frankly about her position and her thoughts on it. I think a lot of us have either been approached with the opportunity to be a DOR, or we've kind of toyed with the idea and we're not sure, like, is it worth the extra responsibility? Is it worth the pay difference? So I asked her a lot of these questions, and I love that she was just honest and shared her true opinions on it. I also think it would be really cool if you guys could email me at spilltheot@gmail.com. and ask me a couple questions that you wish you could ask your boss. So, like, one of the questions that I asked our guest was, do people get quiet when you walk in the room? Because I feel like sometimes when I'll be in a conversation with my peers and the boss walks in, all of a sudden everyone gets quiet. And I'm like, that must be kind of weird to be the boss. And it's not even like we're saying anything inappropriate or that we shouldn't. It's just like this hierarchy or ranking, I don't know, maybe it's just like the Irish guilt in me, but I've just noticed that people get really quiet and it must just be kind of this like weird sensation as the director. So if you could email me at spilltheot@gmail.com and maybe down the road we can do kind of a part 2, either with the same guest, we can invite her back, or we can have another DOR come on. And if you are a DOR listening to this, maybe you'll consider being that guest. So if you do, just shoot me an email. I would love to have you. Okay, so enough small talk. Let's get our guest on here. Here we go.
All right, so I am an occupational therapist. I'm also the clinical director of an outpatient clinic. We do specialize in neurological diagnoses, and we're also a little bit more unique because we treat pretty much the whole age range. So I think my youngest is like 3 all the way up to 80s and 90s.
That's really cool. I haven't seen an outpatient that's like that.
Yeah, it's definitely different, but it's cool.
So how long have you been the director there?
I have not been the director there for very long. I am coming up just on a few months in that position.
Okay. Were you a treating therapist there?
Yes. But I was working at another job for about the last 5 years and then switched over to this clinic. So I was only a treating therapist for them for about a month, which was kind of the plan when I took the position.
So I have a ton of questions for your role as the director, but to start off, can we backtrack and you tell us about your college experience? Did you go into OT to begin with, or were you going to undergrad for something different?
So I'm a little bit different. I actually decided I wanted to be an OT when I was in middle school, before I even really knew what OT was. But there was like a little thing hanging up and it was stuff like playing with babies. And I was like, cool, that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's do that. So I did. I was pretty lucky. I did a 5-year combined BSMS program because I had already known what I wanted to do. So that part was pretty nice.
That's awesome. I actually did a 5-year program too. My mom was like, oh, I think you'll be a great OT. And I had no idea what OT even was. And at 18, right, I kind of signed on blindly.
Exactly.
So would you mind sharing how much approximately it cost for your 5-year program?
So I think when I had done the math when I was there, it was like $200,000 from start to finish.
Did you have to take out a lot of student loans to cover that?
I had to take out quite a few. I don't even remember how much initially I had in student loans. I lucked out because my first job actually gave me $10,000 back towards student loans. So that helped out a lot.
That's really nice. I know a lot of jobs when I was in school promised that, but then when I got out into the field, I think the areas I was looking to work were a little flooded, so it never came to fruition.
Yeah, there were so many places that had stopped offering it, so I really lucked out with that. But then I think I had about 30 grand after that left to pay off.
Okay. So where did you work as your first job out of school?
I worked on an inpatient rehab facility that was also like neuro-based.
So you've always kind of been in the neuro field then?
I have, yeah.
Would you mind sharing what you made as a starting therapist?
So what I made as a starting therapist was right around 60 grand.
Okay, so you were salary.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Did that include any vacation? Do you remember?
It did. It included probably like 2.5 weeks of PTO.
All right. So let's flash forward to your role now as the director.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions.
Go for it.
So what, you're a treating therapist still?
I am.
What are your productivity standards as both a director and a treating therapist?
My productivity standards. So we actually still treat one-on-one also.
Okay.
So I can treat, I guess, about 10 patients less a week than the rest of the therapists.
Okay. That's kind of what they allow as
yes.
You hire up.
So I think their requirements are about 80%. So mine's probably closer to like 70-75% productivity still.
Okay. But the treating therapists under you are all at about 80?
Mm-hmm. 80 or higher, depending on our caseload that week.
So now that you're in this role, are you the one responsible for implementing that productivity if it's not being reached?
I am. Yep.
What do you do to get that accomplished?
So part of it, because we're an outpatient, it ends up coming down to cancellations. And so like if it's the day of, then it's one thing. One of the things that we have, like we're really working on is we have PTAs and CODAs also. And a lot of times it'll be patients on the PTAs or the CODAs caseload that canceled. And it's the PT who really needs the free time in order to get caught up on evals and progress notes and things like that. So as much as possible, I ask them to try to swap with the PTs to try to give them a little bit more of the free time. And then we're also required to do some like community events to help with more of the marketing aspect of it, things like that. And then we have another set of like things that they can even do from the clinic if for whatever reason our caseload is really dropped down low for that week.
Hey everybody, I am so genuinely excited to tell you about MedBridge. So MedBridge is a continuing ed site and they have tons of continuing ed courses all available online. You can stream them at your own pace. They also have home exercise plans, which are incredible. You can literally build your own plan with pictures that can perfectly suit whatever client you're working for. It's honestly so awesome. And you get unlimited CEUs. And these CEU courses are just really intriguing and exciting. Like I've done continuing ed online in the past, and these ones that they select are just very much in line with what I find interesting, and I feel like you might find them interesting as well. So, are you struggling with finding the resources for your time for CEUs? With almost 2,000 accredited evidence-based streaming courses, live CEU webinars, MedBridge is your all-in-one solution. And actually, if you use my code, it's SPILLTHEOT, capital S, capital T, capital OT. So SPILLTHEOT, one word, capital S, capital T, capital OT. You can get $175 off of your year-long subscription, which is awesome. I mean, that's like significant amount of money off. So if you are interested, please go check it out. Again, use the code SPILLTHEOT, capital S, capital T, capital OT, all one word. All right. I really hope that you go check it out. Enjoy.
Have you had to discipline anybody at this point?
I have not. We've had to have like a few talks, but I haven't had to, you know, like truly discipline anybody.
Has it been hard on your friendships with the people that like you used to be kind of at the same level?
Yeah, it's definitely is really weird. I would say the hardest thing is that you get so used to just talking to your coworkers about, you know, whatever. And now when my boss annoys me, I like can't just go complain to my coworkers.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. So that's definitely been the hardest part for me.
How often do you have to answer to your boss?
At least once a week, if not more depending on what all is going on.
So one thing that somebody wanted to know was, when you walk in the room, do you ever feel it go quiet?
I'm trying to decide. I don't think so. But I feel like if they were talking about something they didn't want me to hear, they probably would have picked a different area. Mm-hmm. Like, there are definitely times where you can see people are in like one of the corners of the gyms or something, and then they look over and their affect might change a little bit for a minute.
They've got that Irish guilt.
Exactly.
All right. Did you prefer being a treating therapist, or do you like this role as the coordinator?
I really like the role that I'm in now, where I still get to do some of both.
And it sounds like you actually do a lot of treating compared to a lot of coordinators out there.
I do. Yeah. Which is really nice. I like that. I don't know. At least I like it for now. So
do you feel like the salary difference is worth the extra, I won't say stress, but the extra responsibility?
The extra effort and all of it. I would say that I still ask myself that question a lot. We'll have to let it play out. I'm hopeful that it does in the end. I think it's fun. So for the most part, I would say it's worth it, but it might not necessarily be because of the salary.
I gotcha. What do you do if the census gets low? Like, if there aren't as many people coming in, do you have to cut hours for some of your therapists?
I know that some do. We don't, because all of our therapists are salaried, which is also a little different since we do have so many PTAs and CODAs. So again, they have like a list of downtime, like activities they can do. But because we also treat one-on-one, for the most part, we don't have weeks where it really drops that much, unless we're like orienting a new employee or something like that.
Has the reverse happened, where you end up with too many patients and therapists are having to stay longer?
So we haven't done that. We pretty much cut it off at like, these are your hours. But there are days where like you'll treat over lunch or something like that to try to fit in another eval if you know that you have a lot of discharges coming up the following week.
So I know that was a lot of questions. Is there anything that you feel would be beneficial for people to know? But I see this podcast as people who are kind of seeking alternative careers in mm-hmm. therapy. So one of those alternatives might be something like a coordinator role. I'm just curious if there's any information that you'd like to provide to people, like good, bad, anything.
Yeah. So once I kind of hit my 4-year mark out of school, I was definitely in that same position of like, all right, cool. Now what next? I think I'm kind of over this. And I looked at everything from like switching into medical sales types of things, to memory care coordinators. And it took me at least a year to finally make a move. Cause I also like, I loved the team that I worked with, you know, I have really good benefits. I didn't want to move. So it took me a year to finally make a move. And then I actually went PRN for a few months when I finally did. And it is amazing how much like my overall mood and enjoyment for what I do changed once I was actually being challenged again. And once I kind of found that spot of where like, you know, this is what I'm really good at and I get to help other people and like teach other clinicians and things like that. So it definitely made a big difference. I would definitely say if people are feeling burnt out, to just try to find what their niche is. And I know that there's a lot of people trying to figure that out, and it's definitely the hardest part.
That's really interesting, because sometimes I have a conversation in my head where I'm like, I'm really burnt out. This isn't for me. But I am somebody who likes to be challenged and learning new things.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes the traditional OT can become really stagnant.
Yeah, I work way harder and way longer hours. And of course, now that I'm not PRN, I don't get hourly rate like a PRN either. And I still like don't regret my decision to take on the clinical director position, as opposed to just staying PRN where I could kind of bounce around and do what I wanted.
So would you say that you found your niche?
I am definitely happy where I am now. We'll have to see what challenges it brings up in the future, or if I feel like I'm kind of sinking, like you were just saying, and being stagnant again. But hopefully it is something that can continue to grow with me, especially as the company expands and things like that.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of our field is that you can switch in so many different areas. So even though I feel like I'm kind of stuck in this career sometimes, I also have to really like step back and consider that there's so many different options. I'm just not doing the work to explore all the different options.
Right, exactly. And it's definitely a lot of work to find out those options because there are so many different things that people have done with it.
So what would you say is your favorite thing about being an OT?
My favorite thing about being an OT is probably just like the freedom for creativity. I can take almost any activity and make it therapy.
What would you say is your least favorite thing about OT?
Insurance.
Preach.
It's absolutely ridiculous. I think I had two denials today alone, and both were for like ridiculous reasons.
Last couple of questions. If you were 18 again, would you pursue an OT degree or would you think about something different?
So I don't know. I was thinking about that one earlier. Initially, when I was a kid, I decided I wanted to be a doctor and then decided that was way too much school. So that's how, you know, when I saw that little corkboard thing, I decided this sounded like fun. I didn't even learn that PA was a thing until after I was in college. Sometimes I think I would have gone that route, but then there are also some PAs that I've worked with that make me very happy that I did not go that route.
So it's interesting you say that because I've noticed that a lot of OTs, when I ask them this question, they turn to the PA or the NP.
Yeah.
What they would have liked to do. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I like a lot of the diagnosing stuff, which is why I think I would have gone the PA route.
So another similar question. If money was not an issue whatsoever and you couldn't fail at anything and you could do absolutely anything as a career, what would you do?
So my husband and I would love to start like a therapy dog service or business or whatever, because then I could still get to do OT and then he could take care of like the dog training and stuff like that. And we live up, we live in Maryland and it is cold right now. So moving somewhere else where it's warmer all year round would be pretty awesome also.
Oh, that's so cool. I feel like I wish you could be friends with the girl I just did a podcast with because her dream job, first of all, she wanted to be a PA, but also she would train the dogs to go to veterans, not the
right. Veterans. Yeah, exactly. Like I think that would be so cool.
All right. Are there any questions that I didn't ask that you wish I had asked?
I don't think so. I think you covered a lot of it. And I definitely think the loans and knowing what you're getting into and all of that is a big part of going into therapy these days. It'll be really interesting to see what happens with all the Medicare changes for next year.
All right, guys. So the tail end of our conversation got a little bit cut off, but it was a pleasure to have her on. And I encourage all of you to continue to find your niche. Feel free to join us on our Facebook group, Spill the OT Podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Spill the OT. And shoot me an email at spilltheot@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments. Also, if you are watching this or listening to this on iTunes, please go and give us a 5-star review. The 5-star review will help us pop up in the search bar so that way it